Good morning, everyone. My name is Jennifer Eder, and I'm actually going to be doing the presentation today for Katie Bishop, who is in the front row here. She got sick a couple days ago and unfortunately has no voice. I used to work with Katie at the Center for Science and the Public Interest in Washington, D.C., and now I work at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia at a research center called Policy Lab. But hopefully in the Q&A, Katie will be able to answer some questions if I can't answer them for you. So the Center for Science and the Public Interest is a food and nutrition advocacy organization that works on policies at the national, state, and local level to improve the food environment. We also are the publisher of Nutrition Action Health Letter, the largest nutrition newsletter in the U.S. and Canada. And copies of our most recent issue are available right outside of the room. At CSPI, Katie provides support and technical assistance to states and localities trying to improve the nutritional quality of foods and beverages in public places. Katie has no conflicts to disclose. Implementing standards to improve the nutritional quality of foods and beverages on public property is a lower-cost public health strategy that can and is being pursued successfully all across the country. If governments are implementing obesity and chronic disease prevention programs and providing health education, it's a major contradiction if they are primarily providing or selling sugar-sweetened beverages, chips, and candy, and do not ensure that healthier options are available on their property and through their programs. By increasing healthier options, governments are able to help model healthy behaviors, shape social norms, increase access to healthier options, and provide a supportive environment for employees, visitors to government property, and participants in government-sponsored programs. In addition, consumers want healthier options. A survey by the Snack Food Association showed that 74% of consumers are trying to eat healthier. 65% of consumers are eating specific foods to lose weight. And sales growth of healthier snacks are outpacing traditional snack foods by 4-1. In a recent study of 100% healthier vending policy in Chicago parks, almost 90% of park goers were satisfied with the healthier options. In fact, the leading complaint was that the options weren't healthy enough, and revenue increased after adding the healthy options. Improving foods and beverages in public places is a growing movement. Many states and localities have been starting to implement these policies for some or all of their public property. These policies vary greatly. Some are official policies like bills or executive orders, and others are less official through contracts or programs. They also vary greatly in scope, with some addressing all foods and beverages available in public property like Washington State, and others only addressing the foods available in the health department. To get a sense of the baseline status of food and beverage options on public property, we did a survey of the options available through vending machines on state and local public property. To conduct the study, we asked volunteers across the country to assess the options on their public property. In total, we surveyed 850 machines on 260 properties across 37 states. The states cover all regions of the country. In terms of beverages, we found that 42% were healthier options, 16% were water, 23% were low-calorie beverages, and 3% were 100% juice. This is not as high as we would like, but it is encouraging considering that many states and localities that want to address beverages on public property try to start by trying to reach 50% of healthier options. This shows us that states and localities would be able to get to 50% healthier options by switching only 1 to 4 beverage slots depending on the type of machine. CSPI recommends that 100% of beverage slots offer healthier options on public property. However, if a phased-in approach is used or politically necessary, a 75% threshold is more likely to provide meaningful progress from the current national average. The food options available were less encouraging. 80% of the options were candy, chips, or sweet baked goods, and only 5% of the foods offered in the vending machines were healthy options, including fruits, vegetables, or nuts. This demonstrates there is much more work to be done with food on public property, and there is a need to implement policies that ensure a certain percentage of healthier options are available. There are many things to consider when developing your policy. One is the approach for achieving the change. Julie went over this, but I just want to reiterate that a bill is the most sustainable approach, as it is the hardest to reverse. Executive orders, then, are the second most sustainable. Contracts are sustainable during the year that the contract is in place, but there is no guarantee that the language ensuring healthier options will be in the next contract, meaning that after one contract cycle, the healthier option might be gone. And programs are the least sustainable, as they can fall apart with changes in staff, leadership, funding, new vendors, and a variety of other factors. So the best method is a bill. You'll also need to think about which standards you will use. There are many models already available, including the General Services Administration and Health and Human Services Health and Sustainability Guidelines, which are used in some federal facilities and were created by the CDC, the American Heart Association Guidelines, and the National Alliance for Nutrition and Activity Guidelines. Additionally, some health departments decide to create their own guidelines. I would recommend using one of the models already available. You could strengthen areas or do other tweaks, but using one of the current models will save time and there is no need to recreate the wheel. Something else to consider is what percentage of healthier options to insure. We recommend 100% healthier options, but if that's not politically feasible, you should aim for the highest percentage healthy that is achievable in your state or locality. But that also will create meaningful change. Again, based on our findings, anything less than 50% healthier options for beverages appears to not provide meaningful change from the current national average. The leading challenge that Katie hears from states and localities is working with vendors. Vendors can make your work more difficult, but there have been some successes working with vendors. Some of the tactics that have made working with vendors easier include leadership support. So in New York City, vendors said that knowing that the changes were coming directly from the mayor helped them get on board, including vendors in the conversation early. In DC, we set up meetings with the blind vendors to let them know what our plans were, and we walked them through the nutrition standards so they understood what was being asked of them and better understood what we meant by healthier products. We found that even if they didn't stock the healthier products, they recognized the brands or types of products that would fit in the standards. And a third tactic that's made working with vendors easier is understanding concerns. In Massachusetts, they had several meetings with vendors to really understand their concerns and made changes to the bill to address some of those concerns, like having a phase-in implementation. Instead of going to 100% healthier options the first year, vendors would have 5 years to phase in the healthier products. Other concerns often heard by vendors are concerns about limited product availability and losing revenue. Fortunately, there are many healthy products on the market now than there were a few years ago, but the idea still persists that there aren't tasty, healthier options available. To remedy this concern, you can share a product list of healthier options. There are lists available for a few of the current model guidelines that I've already discussed. You could also connect vendors with local schools, as schools are now required to have 100% healthier options in vending machines. Schools can share which healthier products are selling well and where they purchase their products. In terms of revenue, there are encouraging examples of revenue remaining stable or even increasing, like with the Chicago example I mentioned earlier. On the CSPI website, we also have a fact sheet with positive examples and tips for successfully implementing these policies. We have a lot of resources available on our website, including model bills, fact sheets, including one making business case to vendors, toolkits, the map of policies that I showed earlier, and webinars. And along with Julie and Ashley, Katie has started peer networking calls on this topic to allow people to ask questions, share challenges and successes, and learn about new resources. If you're interested in being added to this email list for the calls, please send Katie an email. And her email address is right here. So if you're interested in learning more about CSPI or joining their action network or following them on social media, please go to www.cspinet.org/act now. And like I said, during the Q&A session, Katie should be able to answer any questions that I'm not able to address, and you can send her an email with further questions. Thanks.